Some unexpected groups are lining up in support of the University of Michigan's affirmative action program, which is being challenged before the Supreme Court. Retired military officers and Fortune 500 companies are preparing separate friend of the court briefs, urging justices to leave the race-based admissions policy in place. Their position puts them in opposition to the Bush administration, which has asked the court to declare Michigan's program unconstitutional. NPR's Debbie Elliott reports.
The list of companies reads like a who's who of blue-chip firms. 3M, Boeing, Dow Chemical, Eli Lilly, Microsoft, Procter & Gamble, Texaco, and dozens of others. Some are even competitors, but they've joined together to weigh in on the affirmative action case, arguing programs like the one at the University of Michigan provide the kind of job recruits they need to compete. Attorney David DeBruin is helping prepare the brief.
This is good business. This is necessary business. That is why these companies are participating in this. It is directly important to them and their ability to do business in a truly global economy as now exists today.
For these companies, affirmative action is a practical issue, not a political one, according to James Hackett, president and CEO of Steelcase, the world's largest office furniture manufacturer.
I have a great deal of respect for our president. I believe he's doing a great job as president of the United States. However, I disagree with him on this topic.
Steelcase is based in Grand Rapids and recruits employees from the University of Michigan. Hackett says rolling back affirmative action at colleges and universities would be a setback for business.
We're a global company. We have to deal with people from all over the world every day. And if you have the benefit of that in an educational environment as you go into business, you're further ahead.
Not all business groups support that argument. Nicholas Provenzo is chairman of the Center for the Advancement of Capitalism.
Grossly mistaken. What they're specifically advocating is racial diversity. And race is not a proxy, is not a substitute for a person's actual experiences or actual ability.
The center has also filed a friend of the court brief with the Supreme Court, arguing that race has no place in a university's admissions process. Others argue that eliminating race from consideration could reverse years of progress. A group of retired generals is planning to file a brief in support of the University of Michigan's policy. They believe the case could devastate recruiting at the Army, Navy, and Air Force academies, where military officers are trained. Like the business leaders, admissions officers at the three service academies consider diversity an important value.
We feel like we need to be a part of the society that we defend.
Colonel Michael Jones is Dean of Admissions at West Point. He says the Academy has specific minority recruitment goals, not quotas.
If we make the goals, fine. If we don't make the goals, we don't make them.
While about a third of the enlisted ranks is minority, far fewer military officers are. And that can be a problem in combat, according to James Cannon, former chairman of the Naval Academy Board of Visitors under Presidents Reagan and Bush.
If a destroyer at sea, for example, has 30% or 35% minority enlisted men, it's imperative that they have a minority officer aboard who can serve both as a role model for these enlisted men and also to represent to them the necessity of command.
Cannon says the military has made great strides since President Truman ordered it desegregated more than 50 years ago.
The armed services, as an institution, have done a better job of integration than any other institution in America. They have done a marvelous job of bringing together men and women of all races to work together, to train together, to go to war together. And all that our brief will ask is that they be allowed to continue to do that.
February 18th is the deadline for submitting briefs to the Supreme Court in the Michigan case. Debbie Elliott, NPR News.